Blog Talk Radio.
Well, hello, this is George Gaumond, and it is, what, Tuesday, December 8th. Christmas is getting closer. Are you excited? I don't know, if you celebrate Christmas, or winter solstice, or Hanukkah, or all of the above, or just the season in general. I'm kind of a seasonal kind of guy. Love this time of year. I actually have special feelings for Christmas. It's a long story, which I won't get into. It's not really as much religious as it's just a festive time of year for me. But, okay, so we won't talk about that. We'll leave that one alone. So how's everyone today? You having a great time? You having some fun? You know, what have you set your intentions to do today? Been thinking about that a lot in the last couple of days, about setting intentions. What is your intention? Let me try to explain myself a little bit further. It's like you can set an intention for a week, a month, a year, but I find it going through the day, and this kind of goes back to some of the Abraham material that I've read in the past and some other authors and Spirit kind of giving me some information on. It's the idea of continuously set your intention. Now, it could be something like, for the next 2 hours, my intention is to feel good. My intention for the next 2 hours is to have some fun. My intention for the next 2 hours is to find time to meditate. My intention for the next 2 hours is to smile at a lot of people. Setting your attention. And in the morning, when you get out of bed, what do you set your intention to be? Do you set your intention, I'm going to have a very prosperous day. I'm going to have a day full of joy and happiness. I'm going to have a day, my intention today is to have a day of great accomplishment. So what do you set your intentions at? So yesterday's show, going through the material, and I get a lot of articles, and I read a lot of articles, and, you know, on various subjects, health, relationships. I have a good one on relationships I wanted to cover today. And one on being left-handed, I thought, hey, you know, kind of all over the place, because I just find some things that are interesting and want to share what's interesting. That's kind of what I'm all about, is sharing what's interesting. And maybe at some level, you'll find it beneficial and helpful in your life, or understanding other people, or understanding your family, right? You got left-handed people, those 10%ers in the world that are left-handed, or 11%? I think it's 11%. Okay, something like that. Let's talk about that. But yesterday's show, reading an article about soul families and soulmates, and it dawned on me, talking to people in the non-physical world, what I'm truly trying to communicate to you is what your soul family is trying to tell you. Now, let me explain a little bit more about, I have callers, and I'll be with you in a minute. Hang in there for a minute. I got somebody who's been holding for a while. I will be with you in a minute. Let me explain a little bit what I mean about a soul family. Now, I have to go back into this whole belief system, and the belief system is that you reincarnate many times. You come into many lifetimes, you know, hundreds, thousands, depending on, you know, your point of view. But each time you reincarnate, you bring the same souls in with you, your soul family. Now, sometimes you borrow from another soul family, but for the most part, you bring in your soul family because you have things to work together on and do things together and accomplish together. And, you know, you kind of make agreements between lives that we're going to work on this. And you know what? I got to work on this. I need your help. It's like you create a play for each lifetime. And in this play, you create or have the characters, the actors, your soul family to play the parts. And you play in their plays, and it's very intricate, you know, weaving of life stories and storylines, and kind of cool, huh, if you think about it that way. You're creating all these multi-level plays at the same time amongst all the people that have been your soul family. So getting back to the reading part of it, what does your soul family have to say to you about your life? You know, it could be somebody that you lived many lifetimes with, or it could be somebody that just passed not recently, or it could be somebody that you're living in this lifetime with, and they're still part of your soul family. So what is your soul family? Because they're part of your play, for the most part. Now, some stay on the other side, we got into that discussion yesterday about twin flames and soulmates and how many times they're not with you in a lifetime, but they're on the other side and they're your spirit guide or spirit guides. And your soul family could be your spirit guides, right? Your great-grandmother who in this lifetime, who was your brother in another lifetime, and blah, 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 going on and on and on. So that's what the energy I'm getting. And that's kind of the feeling when I'm talking about getting message from your soul family is all those players that have been in all those lifetimes with you, what do they have to say about this lifetime? Do they think you're on the course you need to be on? Okay. Or do they think you need to make some changes? And since I believe from my studies and the work I've done that only about 15 to 25% of our energy, our essence, comes into a lifetime, and the rest of us is on the non-physical world, that there's part of, let's say, your higher self, but their higher selves, the people that are in your soul family, that might have comments on your life now. So it could be your mother. Could be alive, but her soul, her essence on the other side, the non-physical world, has something to say to you and not the physical person. Does that make sense? I hope it does. So I'm going to take some calls. So that's what we're about. And we look at past lives. We look at, okay, I had this person in my past life and we did this and this and this, and now we need to do this and this and this. So I'm kind of into this. I think it's really cool. If you get into the soul family thing and our involvement with our soul family. So let me take a call and see what's going on. Okay, first call. Hello.
Hi there. How are you?
Hi. I'm doing well. Who am I speaking to?
Holly in Seattle.
Well, Holly, what's up with you? I knew the number looked familiar, but I can never remember, you know, like whose number is that? Okay.
Is Charles my soulmate?
One of them.
Oh, he is?
One of them. But you got to lose. Now, we got to be careful with the word soulmate, because soulmate is a member of your full soul family that you've had a lot of lifetimes with. Okay, multiple lifetimes with. For the most part, it's not romantic. And I'm not saying yes or no to him, but it's most, for the most part, soulmates and twin flames are not romantic. Okay?
Oh, okay.
And a lot of times the romantic ones are kind of on the fringe of your soul family because you want to do something new and different together that you've never done before. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Kind of like, ooh, this is a new experience. We're here together. Let's go have some fun, right? Yeah. So, yes, he is. Your last lifetime together was in the early last century, okay? The 20s, all the way up to about 1940-something, okay?
Wow.
Yeah. What do you like to do? I'm trying to get a picture of what you like to do, because what you like to do back then is kind of different than what you're doing now. Okay?
Tell me back then. What did I like?
Going out, dancing, having fun. Okay?
Yeah.
You lived in Spain in a lifetime, and I don't know if it was the last one. It might have been the last one. It was Spain.
I don't do that anymore.
Yeah, see, well, maybe you need to get back to it a little bit, just a little bit, okay? Because your soul is saying, I want to go have fun. Why can't I have some fun? Okay? And your soul family is saying, she's getting a little boring now. She needs to get out there. She needs to get a little boring. She needs to get out there and do some stuff. She needs to tackle a new project that lights up her soul.
Yeah.
You've been beaten down by people too long.
Yeah.
People
what
don't.
Do I
people.
Need to learn? I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, go ask your question.
Am I supposed to learn something from Charles this time around?
This is interesting. And I had to verify this word. I'm going to try to see if I get a really. Because I heard a word, and I just want to verify if it's the right word I got for you. Oh, yeah. Patience.
I have to learn patience?
Yeah. Patience is the key in your relationship. Or your friendship, whatever you call it. patience. Patience as in time, patience as in when things are going to happen, patience and not worrying about when it's going to happen. Patience is, okay, you know, you go do your thing, I'll go do my thing, don't worry about it.
We've been friends for 2 years. How much more patience can I have?
Well, see, you got to have patience. But patience without expectations is the key here. Do you have a lot of expectations about this?
I don't know. Whatever happens.
Okay, well, yeah, but you see, okay, then whatever happens is cool, right?
Yeah.
Are you sure? Are you sure about that?
Yeah.
So it's patience. It's just patience, not expecting anything to happen. Just let it go. You know, lessons are sometimes, if you're doing the lesson, that's great. Okay? If you're doing the lesson, that's great. So you don't lose patience, right?
That's Doesn't the only thing I need to learn?
From him? Patience?
Yeah.
This is a weird expression. I don't know where this comes from. How do they put it? It's like attractability or being more attractive or finding ways to be more attractive or more enticing, more attractive, attracting somebody. Not just physically, but just being more attractive in the sense of like more. Yeah. Do you know what I mean by that? It's kind of a weird thing. It's like you have to put out there that chemistry, that energy, that attractability. It's not that you need to do a makeover or do all those crazy things, but you need to be more. You have it's the lesson of learning to be more attractable. I don't think it's even a word, but that's what I get. Okay,
yeah.
more enticing. Okay, now I'll give you this. This is what I hear that. So it's not all about physical. I mean, you can be more attractive by being a better cook, right?
Yeah.
Because if you make cookies, like the weight of a man's heart is through cooking, right? Cookies,
yeah.
Making stuff.
Yeah.
Here's a cheesecake I made, and like men are suckers for that, right? Especially desserts for some reason. We will follow anybody around for a great dessert, right?
Yeah.
So it's about attractability, knowing what to do, knowing how to use who you are to be more attractive without having going through major changes of who you are. Okay?
Okie dokie.
Got that? Do you feel you do that enough already, or do you feel you can work on that a little bit more?
Oh, work on it. I haven't dated since April, so.
So work on it. Work on it.
Yeah.
Well, it's a case of self-examination. What are my best qualities? What are the best things about me? What do I feel that is so good about me that other people would be attracted to, especially men? And it just depends on what, that varies from person to person, right?
Yeah.
Not everybody's the same.
Yeah.
Some are sexual bombshells and others are just great cooks, or some are really funny and humorous and just great entertainers, and just captivating in that way. You know, beauty is an amazing thing because beauty can be a lot of different things, right?
Yeah.
So you got to figure out where your beauty lies. Oh, I love that expression. Where your beauty lies and use it.
Okay.
Got it? That's a good one. I think that's a good one. Of course you can do this.
Well, yeah.
Okay?
I mean, is it just going to be dating or long-term?
Ooh, see, now you want predictions. Okay, well, look.
It's
let
not
me,
set in stone.
No. I know, but let me look at it this way. What is your purpose together in this lifetime on a long-term basis?
Yeah, that's what I was still wondering.
Okay, the words I hear exactly are to be hooked up. Not just sexual,
what does that
but
mean?
To be hooked up means to be together. It means like, you hook two things, a wagon to a horse, right? not in a negative way, but to be hooked up, to be together, the permanency to be hooked up.
Oh.
Okay? So it's what you make of it. I mean, it could be marriage, it could be whatever you call it, it could be partners, it could be, but it's to be hooked up.
Okay.
The free will part of it is how does that work itself out to be? But it's to be, so it's like not going away from each other. You're not going away.
Yeah.
An important, or the other word, here it is, being important people in each other's lives.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah. And of course you want the romantic part of that, don't you?
Yeah. All girls.
Yeah, too. Yeah, you weren't going to admit it, but yeah, that's part of it, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so practice your enticability, okay?
Okay.
Okay, got it?
Yeah, thank you.
You be well, and have a great Christmas. Merry Christmas to you. I know we're early, but happy Hanukkah, if that's appropriate, or Kwanzaa, or season's greetings, or happy solstice. Okay, so we'll stick with Christmas.
Yeah.
Okay, be good. Bye.
Bye.
You know, if you read about Christmas, and I studied religion for years and years and years and years, and then I had to study the, okay, Christmas, where it came from, because the Christian faith that I was in was so conservative that they were like down on Christmas because they thought it was so pagan. You know, all those celebrations, and Jesus wasn't born this time of year, and he was probably born this time of year, and we've brought in all these pagan holidays and blah, blah, blah. That's where I was raised. And so, but you know, I like Santa Claus. I'm not trying to take Jesus out of Christmas. Not at all. Not at all. But I just like this time of the year. It's festive, you know. And if you take in all these celebrations, whether you, you know, however you want to look at them, they're cool. Peace on earth, goodwill to man. That's just a cool expression, isn't it? Family, love. Wow. Okay, got a call. So let me take that. We'll have some fun. Going to get to these articles. One on marriage advice I thought was really cool. And it kind of went contrary to, well, what I think sometimes about relationships. And I'll get into that, because sometimes we get into relationships and we think we got to do everything a lot alike. We got to be so much alike, right? And the article kind of gets into that. Maybe that's not so important. You know, it's like two people come together. You have your interests and he has his interests, and you have mutual interests. But it's really great to celebrate each other's differences. And I was told that once as a relationship broke up. Okay. Hello.
Hi. It's Kathy.
Hi, how are you? You cut out. Are you there? Yoo-hoo. Are you went away? You cut out. Kat or Kathy? Hello? You might want to... Oh, see, you went away. Okay, so you want to call back in, maybe where there was a bad connection or whatever it is. So I'm going to get into this article about relationships, about marriage, or it's, marriage, but it's relationships in general. And if you want to call back, I'll check back in after I get started in the article. It's marriage advice, maintaining separate interests. You know, and I've been on dating sites and trying to look for a partner. And, you know, sometimes you put all your stuff down and then they put all their stuff down. And you want to be so compatible that you do all the same stuff. And then they tell you, well, we're not compatible because we don't do all the same stuff. But this is an interesting article. Upon getting married, I immediately comes we, as a couple decides to combine their lives together, which includes everything from material possessions to finances to love and life goals. Combining all aspects of each other's lives is great and what should happen, but also it is easy to lose the part of yourself that makes you unique. Even going into a relationship, you don't want to get locked into. Well, let me go into the article. We tend to sacrifice a part of our personality and give up some of the things we enjoy when we're coupling up. Occasionally passing on a football game or a girls' night out is no big deal. But when you no longer make time for the things you usually want to do and enjoy, resentment has a chance to grow within our relationship and the things that make you get lost. You know, they make a lot of humor and jokes about that, don't they? You know, all he does is sit and watch football. Well, that's okay, isn't it? At some level. Again, there's balance, but let's get into this. So you have unconsciously let go of the things you loved to do simply because your spouse doesn't like to do them. This typically happens when without even you realizing that part of you is slipping away. Slip sliding away, Paul Simon once wrote. Slip sliding away. And you just wake up one day and realize you're a totally different person than you were before getting married. This is something positive. There is something positive about maintaining the I within the we. And then we get into the rest of the article. But I thought this was really fascinating. Because sometimes we get trapped into, we don't do enough together. Ooh, or you always want to do this. And I, you know, it's a rather interesting dynamic, isn't it? Very interesting. Very fascinating dynamic. Can't talk. Okay, let me take the call again. Well, then we'll get back and more into the article about marriage advice. Yeah, there's that delicate balance there. It's a delicate dance between what I like to do, what you like to do, and what we like to do together. Because there has to be a like to do together stuff. Okay, I have my opinions on that, and it's kind of down the line of the article. Hello.
Hello.
Are you there?
I am.
I lost you.
I know. I'm on Skype. That's why.
So am I. But that's okay. So, again, who is this?
Kathy.
Kathy, what's going on, Kathy?
I don't know.
You don't know?
I'm a little confused.
Why?
Well, because I thought I wanted to retire full-time in Florida, but I don't think I do now.
No, you don't. No, you don't. See, what I got for you, and this is like, because this is a soul family reading, which means it's those on the non-physical world, not just relatives per se, but those you've spent lifetimes with, they're prompting you to move forward and do more. They're pushing you to do more. Okay? Find a new activity that stirs the soul is how I hear it as. Find an activity that stirs the soul. Okay?
Yeah, I'm trying to find out what that is. You know, I've been asking.
Okay, what have you been doing? What was your work?
Well, I'm still working in the government, and I've taken Reiki classes, but I feel like there's something else I want to learn. But I've asked the universe what else it is.
Ah. So Reiki just isn't enough for you, right?
Right.
It feels like you're not doing enough for people when you're just doing that, because it feels like you're not having as much an impact on that, right? Them.
Yeah.
But what were you doing in the government? Because I'm trying to tie in both of these together, because the energy I'm getting I'm getting a hint of where it's going, but just give me a little bit more about what you were doing for the government.
Well, I'm still working the government.
What are you doing?
I'm doing... it's called release management. I do, I don't know, whatever they give me to do. Take care of contracts.
You're highly organized, aren't you?
No, I'm not.
You're not, but you have to be organized, right?
I'm organized at work, but not at home.
Ah, well, so you kind of put it behind. When you get home, it's like, forget that stuff. You know, I did that all day, right?
Yeah.
It feels like... And you can tell me if I'm wrong, but this, the energy I'm getting and what I'm kind of picking up for you is more about instruction than it is hands-on doing. It's more about
teaching?
Not, but in the area you want to go into, the area you want to go into. Let's use the word metaphysical for a moment, which is a huge whole thing here, right?
Right.
It's teaching people to improve their own, I get, this is kind of an interesting word. I hear soulfulness. Soulfulness. Mm. And Reiki can be part of that, but it's raising people's level, raising their energy, teaching people to raise their vibration. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And Reiki's all about doing that, you know, raising your, but there's much more than you can see. This is holds up a whole kind of like a whole Pandora's box of stuff, because I'm hearing it as like even nutrition, holistic living, okay?
Mm-hmm.
You can give somebody a Reiki treatment, but they eat McDonald's burgers all day long. Well, forget about it, right?
Yeah.
nothing against McDonald's, but you know what I mean. It's like a whole holistic kind of attitude about living.
But I need to get more healthy myself.
Well, but that's a good place to start, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because great teachers teach, or writers, authors write, spiritual people write from something that they had to do for themselves to get them to a place, and then they can pass that on to other people.
Mm-hmm.
Because you write from experience, or you do from experience. I lost 70,000 pounds by doing this and this and this, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so you become the best example of what you're going to tell people about.
True.
You know, if you're perfect, it's hard to explain to people, well, I'm perfect and I've always been perfect and you need to be perfect. Well, they talk about in sports, the best coaches were not necessarily the greatest players, but those who were great students of the game.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Okay. Yeah, that's true.
So you be the great student of the game so that you can pass on that wisdom and how apply it to yourself. And that comes back to holistic living. So really focusing yourself on how can I get myself to a place where I'm feeling really good about me, you know, and all the aspects of my life. And then I can pass that on to other people.
Okay. I like that.
You're never going to be 100%, obviously. And you're going to have your ups and down moments. You're going to have your slack moments. You're going to have your cheesecake weeks. Right? But you know what I mean.
I know. I gotcha.
But you know how to turn it around. You know how to face it. I don't know why I get into health as much as anything else. It feels like health has a lot to, but holistic living, right?
Right. Because I have like inflammation in my body, and I'm sure it's foods that I eat. I need to change all that.
Yeah, so it's like you using yourself as the great test case, you know, the guinea pig, to now I'm going to tell you other people how to do this.
Right. Okay.
That's what I get. So, but it's like a lot of research on yourself first.
Mm-hmm.
You get and then you can pass, because you're still working, and you only have You don't have like 7 days a week, 24 hours a day to work on yourself. I mean, you do, but you don't, not to pass it on to people yet.
Right, exactly.
And you're still young enough to do this.
Mm-hmm.
You're still a kid at heart.
Yeah, I am.
So, yeah. Okay, I'm going to give you these words exactly as I hear it for you, because this is what's passing on to me. Being a living example of a godlike person.
Ooh, I like that.
Okay.
Mhm.
Yeah. So, I don't know, take whatever you can use from that, if anything is a benefit for you. But that's what I get for you, because it isn't one thing. It isn't Reiki. It's a lot of things. It's a holistic, balanced living that you're going to be an example of.
Okay. That sounds good.
Yeah. And okay. So I'll let you go on that. Think about it. Give it some thought, some prayer, some meditation, whatever it takes. Okay?
Thank you so much.
And see if that works for you.
Okay.
Okay. Bye.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Holistic. Yeah, I've been thinking about myself and this whole idea of intentions, setting intentions each day. And I would suggest to Kathy, set an intention. I'm going to spend, my intention today is spend an hour on myself to see how I can improve myself today. An hour. That's it. Just an hour or a half hour. I'm going to set an intention to meditate for 20 minutes today. I'm going to set an intention today to pray for 20 minutes today, ask for guidance on what to do. I'm going to spend some time today, set the intention to read more about holistic living, a diet, and perhaps the problems I have, and maybe there's a holistic approach to doing. I'm not discouraging people from going to a medical doctor at all. I mean, I go to the doctor. I have a doctor's appointment on next Monday, which I should be done plenty of time to do the radio show. So I have nothing against that. And I take the advice and I use it. And then I go, yeah, maybe there's something I can do. Well, I'll give you my example here. I a year ago, I was my blood pressure was like way out of whack, and I've been taking medication for it. But recently, I've come to and it's pretty stable now, so it's in the safe zone. Okay. But I'm thinking to myself, I've always been kind of like a person who wants to control stuff and control my life and just, you know, always be in control and always have. And I really kind of have that feeling that, and I'm going to work on this, that is leading to high blood pressure, because it's leading to an internal pressure that I put on myself to, you know, if things don't go right, I got to, why isn't that going right? Right. So let it go. Just let it go. Relax. Turn everything over to the higher self. Turn over yourself to God's self and say, okay, I'm going to let it go. I'm not going to allow myself to stress out over these things. I'm not going to try to be in control of everything. So I'm working on that. I'll tell you how it's going. And you feel it more at peace. So that my intention every morning now, or working on my intentions in the morning, is to feel the energy of love, to express love to others, to be kind, to be considerate, to not get hung up on, blow up and little things go wrong, and kind of get stressed out over little things that go wrong, or I'm going to control this situation, you know, my dog doesn't want to go out, so I'm going to get all freaked out about it, you know, just let it go. She'll go out. She's going to tell me when she wants to go out. She's really good at it. I'm just trying to control, right? So that's my thing. So everybody has their thing. So let me get back to the article. If you want to come into the chat room, if you want to call about what your soul family has to say to you about your life and where you're going, and give you advice and guidance, and maybe look at your future. Because your family knows where you're going. You help create your life chart, your lifeline with them. They kind of contributed to it. Oh, yeah, maybe you should do this, maybe you should do that. Yeah, let's work on this together. So it's a group effort to create your life the way you want it and where you're going. So if you want to find out what they have to say on that, let's talk about it. Okay? Okay. So what are we doing next? Oh, we're back to the thing about marriage. Do what you like to do. Okay, I like this. Your spouse isn't going to love every hobby or activity that you do, and vice versa. This is great. Go meet with people who do not want to see a bad movie or check out that new vegan restaurant, and let your hubby do something with his friends that you will never really want to do. He likes to go to sports bars. Okay, so what? He likes to go play with cars and work on cars. Yeah, it's like, you know, you can show interest. And, you know, I think the key thing there is to show interest and be interested in what he's doing, but not necessarily totally involved. And it's the other way around. As long as you show interest and show appreciation that your partner is bringing stuff into the relationship that you necessarily don't want to do, but you show interest in what they do. And you want to hear about what they do and how they did it. And you want to share their victories, right? Okay, the situation is a win-win because you both get to enjoy something without having to worry about the other being bored or miserable. By getting away and accomplishing something that you alone want to do, you will hit the reset button on your stress levels. Isn't that cool? Huh? You will reset your stress buttons and come back happier and calmer. Because you can't do everything together. It's basically what they're saying, and it doesn't work. We're all human. We're all different in some ways. And it wouldn't be boring kind of like to meet somebody who's exactly like you, and you never bring anything new into the relationship, and you're together 24/7 or whatever hours you're able to get together. It's kind of like, yeah, it gets boring. Okay, make joint plans separately. Make plans the same night with other people. This way there is no weird feelings about leaving the other at home. Both of you can enjoy them yourselves without feeling like you left the other out. That way both of you come to home refreshed and maybe missing each other a little bit. And it goes without saying to do anything suspect or shady, but having a girls' night out with while your husband is out with his buddies is healthy. Even if you or your house plans to get cozy with Netflix and a boozy refreshment alone. They said booze is your refreshment alone. You got your cocktails, you know. It's cocktail night in a crime movie. Okay, you know what, dear? I'm out of here. You know, I'm going to go for a run. Go for a long walk. I'm going to go to a bookstore. I'm going to do this. There's an electronics store. I'm going to go look at some gadgets. You do that, and I'm going to look at gadgets. I'm going to go look at computers. Right? All right, there's an auto parts store. I've been looking at these parts. Or whatever it is. Or I'm going to my other room, and I'm going to get in the internet, and I'm going to look for stuff. Right? There's nothing wrong with that. You don't have to force your husband to sit through a movie that you wanted to see, that he's going, you know what? Yeah, you watch it. You know, we'll meet up after the movie. You can tell me all about it. You give me the cliff notes, right? And you still have plans to enjoy your own company and do one you should feel. And wait a minute, let me read that again. You still have plans to enjoy your own company, so no one should feel guilty about leaving the other. So, you know, what are you doing tonight? I don't know. I'm thinking about this. Oh, yeah, where are you going to go? Where are you going to go? Okay, what are you going to do? Blah, blah, blah. Making plans together, but for separate activities. Without getting weird about it, you know. Without getting weird. Got it? Okay. Create excitement. I like this. This is good stuff. Let me see if anybody wants to talk to me. Nope. You're not there. Okay. So we're going to do this again. I won't be here tomorrow. See, tomorrow's Wednesday. It's a take care of project day. It's a project day tomorrow. But I will be here on Thursday, and we'll do more of the soul family things and what they have to say to you. It's like talking to dead people, but it's soul family. So it's the same thing. But I like the idea of soul family because it gives me this wide range of energy that can talk to you. Okay. So we're back to the article on marriage. Create excitement. By getting stuck in one's rut, you can get boring and frankly bored with each other. By finding separate activities, you have a chance to break out of the routine. When finished, you can come home with something to talk about that's new and different. Discussing something you had just had fun doing is far more interesting to hear about than about another busy day at work. You like that? So what did you do, dear? I went out and took pictures. I did some photography work, and I was taking pictures, and I was taking pictures of nature and blah, blah, blah. I'd like to show you what I did. Okay, but you didn't do it together because the other person go, I'm not really into photography. Go for it. Go have some fun, right? Kind of bored to me. But I've been working on this other thing, right? Been putting a ship in a bottle. Well, how's that going? Well, show me how far you are along on it. You know, sharing what you do, separate things, and appreciating what you do in separate things, but not necessarily sitting there watching each other do their separate things, right? Take an opportunity maybe to learn something on your own to bring back into the relationship. I'm taking a cooking class. Okay, cool. Yeah, wow. Well, when you learn something, bring it home, right? Be something new in the kitchen or maybe the bedroom. Ooh, the bedroom, huh? Yeah. We could be decorating. Yeah, decorating the bedroom in a better way, right? Or whatever. We'll leave that one alone. We'll just kind of move on here. Move on to the next point. Yes, before I get bogged down. Yes. Okay. No forced expectations. I like that. No one wants to be forced to do something they really don't want to. If your spouse has repeatedly mentioned they don't like doing some of your favorite things with you, it's time to stop making them. You can make people. You can make them feel guilty, you know, guilt, guilt, guilt. But guess what happens? They get resentful, right? So, but a marriage couple or a couple dating or relationship or whatever form it is, you do things together there, or you wouldn't have a relationship. If there weren't things that you both enjoy doing together, right? But there's so much more in life that you may do separately. When someone in your party is miserable and whining, nobody has a good time. And if you are the one forcing the issue, then you come off as an inconsiderate jerk who will be getting no nookie. I like that. You come across as an inconsiderate jerk who will be getting no nookie. Respect your spouse's wishes and don't just make them tag along. Ooh, what an interesting concept, huh? Respect, share this on Facebook, shouldn't I? This whole thing, because this is a great article for you guys. For anybody to look at, if you're in a relationship, doesn't mean you have to be married, right? Okay. Moving right along. I don't got much time I got left here. Do we got any callers? No callers. So we'll move into the article a little bit more. I think this is great advice. The need for personal space is not a threat to the relationship. I love this. I've seen it happen too often when one spouse needs a little breathing room to do something that they enjoy, then the other takes the notion as a slight and begins to feel insecure. Yeah, I've been there. Well, the person who wrote this article, and I, just so you know, and I don't want to take credit for all this information and give it to who it is, it's Sylvia Smith, is a relationship expert with years of experience in training and helping couples in therapy. Her mission is to provide inspiration, support, and empowerment to everyone on their journey to a great marriage. She is currently associated with Marriage.com, a reliable resource assisting millions of couples to resolve their marital issues. She holds a master's degree in arts, clinical psychology, with an emphasis in marriage and family therapists. So she's an MFT that works with couples. Okay, cool. So I'm going to give you that. So you know who it is, Sylvia Smith. Okay. Okay, so let me finish this last. I've seen it happen too often. Our one spouse needs a breathing room to do something they enjoy, and the other takes the notions as a slight or begins to feel insecure. I can assure you, your husband or wife isn't pulling away. It's good for our mental health to take some time away to hang out with friends or to just be alone with a beer and a good book, or a glass of wine and a good book, or a martini, or a joint. Oh, did I say that? Yeah, whatever. whatever pleases you, right? Whatever kind of chills you out at the moment, right? Maintaining you makes for a stronger relationship. I like this. Maintaining you makes for a stronger relationship. If a couple can grow and enrich their lives by entertaining their own hobbies and learning a new skill, they bring so much more into the relationship, allowing the bond to become stronger. You are creating a marriage that is bigger than the two of you. That's that synergy kind of thing. The combination of two is much greater than the individual parts, right? The relationship is solid, the bond becomes stronger, and there is an underlying element of trust and security that runs through the fiber of your relationship because you can still be you. You don't get sucked into the other person's lives. Yeah, and that's what happens, I guess, in sometimes the relationships where one person is really, really well-known, famous, and the other person isn't. And so, especially happens for men if a wife is really, really well-known and famous, and they become the Mrs. and the Mr. what you call it, you know, and they get sucked into their wife's life, and it, you know, and it goes both ways, where they lose their individual identity, and they just become the appendage of the other person. Okay, that's not good, right? Don't take your spouse for granted. Now for the contrary bit. While you both should maintain separate interests and hobbies, do not take selfish time at the expense of your spouse's needs. For example, if you both make plans for several weeks out from the day you keep these plans, don't just decide to drop them to do something with your friends instead. Okay, let me read that over because that was confusing and I'm confusing you. For example, if you both make plans for an event several weeks from the day, keep those plans. Okay, so if you have special plans to go to an event, a play, a movie, don't just drop it just to be with your friends. Okay. Appreciate. Don't take your partner for granted. They're both looking forward to something. Don't dump on them and say, oh, no, I'm going to go do this. Work really hard to keep the promises to each other is basically what it said. Keeping separate interests is supposed to be booster your quality time together, not overrun it. Okay. I think we're almost out of these now. Yeah. So keep your marriage healthy. It's the last point. Just keep it healthy. Do your own different things, but come together, share what you're doing separately, and honor the time that you have together and the plans that you have together, right? Bottom line, right? Honor each other, respect each other, love each other, care for each other. All that good stuff, right? All that good stuff. So it's been fun. Thank you, callers. and those who listen to the show, I really greatly appreciate it. You can contact me through my Blog Talk Radio page, my website, my Facebook page, through the messenger.info. And if you want to contribute to the show through those, you can do that, especially my website and also through the messenger.info. You can contribute. So contact me. I want to get some feedback. Thank you very much. Have a good one. Love you guys. Bye.